John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made, because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Colts, Hidden Killers Investigates. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
At Samuel Bateman's sentencing in a federal courthouse in Phoenix, prosecutor Demetra Sampson displayed photographs on a screen one by one. Each image was a girl. Each girl was identified by name. Some of those girls had been given to Bateman as what they called spiritual wives when they were nine. Not by strangers, by their own fathers. Fathers who sat in the same community, attended the same gatherings, and watched what Bateman did with their kids. And here's the line from that courtroom that will haunt your nightmares. Yes, haunt your nightmares. They're already bad, but let's make it worse. The prosecutor looked at those images and said, these girls have become the adults in the room. They are the role models for others that their parents should be for them. That's not legal language. That's a federal prosecutor telling a courtroom that the children in this case showed more courage, more clarity, and more basic decency than the grown-ass adults who were supposed to protect them. That's what this episode is about, not just what Bateman did, but the human supply chain that made it possible. The fathers who volunteered their children, the wives who facilitated the abuse, the money that funded it, and the question at the center of all of it. How do you hold people accountable for choices they were engineered from birth to never question? We're going to get into all of it, and as we do, your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. If maybe you survived this thing called FLDS, share your story. Please do. There's a lot of people out there that catch our videos, not just folks who are wanting to be entertained by cult content, but genuine human beings who've escaped cults where the content was not content, it was their lives. And they're looking to understand and educate themselves in a world that they have never known. And sometimes a helping hand from somebody else who's escaped it is just the connection they need. So please do, if you have an experience and you can share it and you can use that negativity that to help others as you too maybe have escaped this, those negative experiences, turn it positive. Share your experience. Help others realize it's okay. There's a world outside of this. And I thank you for that and I welcome you. If you're here and you're new, hey, we're going to try and make you laugh a little bit as we go through this as well, even though it's extremely dark. By 2020, Samuel Bateman had refined his method into something efficient and self-sustaining. He told his followers that polygamy brings exaltation in heaven. That's something to wake up to in the morning. Like, what could I tell them? I want to get polygamy back. I know we got rid of that in the 90s, but, or 1890s, which is true. Exaltation on heaven. That's the words. That's what we got to say. That He was acting on direct orders from the Heavenly Father. That giving him wives, including their own children, was an act of divine obedience that would secure their eternal salvation. And if you can check that box, God, people are willing to give you a lot of shit, including their kids. Every time he claimed a new wife, according to his own guilty plea, it marked the beginning of S-contact. These weren't marriages in any legal or ceremonial sense. There was no license, no officiant, no ceremony. They were declarations of ownership. He said a girl was his wife. She became his property, and it began. His group, roughly 50 followers, calling themselves Samuelites, was spread across four states, Arizona, Utah, Colorado, and Nebraska. Bateman traveled constantly between them, collecting wives and moving children across state lines. According to federal prosecutors, he regularly coerced underage girls into acts with him and with other adults. On at least one occasion, he transmitted a live video stream of a child S abuse to his followers via electronic devices. On another occasion, he gave one of his child victims to an adult male follower to be assaulted. He held group events he called atonement ceremonies, which, according to court records, were organized encounters involving both his adult and minor wives. Some of these were recorded, some were broadcast. And none of this was hidden from the people closest to him. Bateman's control, I mean, this is such a prime example of a case where there's no way anyone's going to get away with this, right? Right? I mean, eventually he didn't, but he did for quite a long time and the damage was done. But these concepts are just like so far out there. You're like, no one's going to be able to do this and get away with it. That's insane. Someone's going to speak up and stop it. Surprise. When you tell somebody that their eternal salvation depends on it, you'd be amazed what people are willing to do. I've always said it'd be so easy to start a cult if you had no morals and were a horrible, evil human being. Like Bateman. We like to think there's a world where people like this do not exist. Surprise, they do. They're not just for nightmares anymore. Bateman's control over his followers went beyond theology. According to the FBI affidavit, he demanded that followers confess publicly for any perceived indiscretion, real or imagined. He would then share those confessions widely within the group. The punishments he imposed ranged from public shaming to forced S activity. He punished men by demanding they surrender their wives and daughters to him. The confessions became leverage. The punishments became conditioning. And the S acts became both the crime and the instrument of control, each one binding the participants deeper into complicity, making them less likely to go to police because they themselves had now participated in something criminal. It was a closed loop. The more they obeyed, the more compromised they became, the more compromised they became, the less they could afford to leave. The financial machinery behind Bateman's operation deserves its own attention because it reveals how completely his followers surrendered control. Liddell Bristein Jr. and his brother Torrance Bristein were devout believers and successful businessmen together. According to prosecutors, they bankrolled Bateman's lifestyle. They bought him two Bentleys. They bought him a Range Rover. Torrance managed the group's finances. Bateman, who had been a machinist and real estate agent before declaring himself a prophet, stopped working entirely. He lived off his followers' money, drove luxury cars purchased with their earnings, and spent his days exercising total control over their families. Christine Marie, the cult researcher who lived in Short Creek and documented Bateman's operations, recalled seeing him cruise the community's dusty roads in an SUV pulling a flatbed trailer. His wives sat on the trailer in two neat rows, singing as they moved through town. Oh, Bateman, yeah. I don't know what the song went. She described it as a display, as if the women were trophies, which in Bateman's theology they were. The more wives the man has, the closer he gets to God. Bateman's collection was his credential. But it's the fathers who make this case different from almost any other trafficking operation in the country. This was not a predator operating in shadows. This was a predator operating in plain sight with the active cooperation of the people who are biologically and legally responsible for protecting his victims. Maroney Johnson, one of Bateman's most committed followers, gave six of his own underage daughters to Bateman as spiritual wives, six daughters with ages ranging from 9 to 17. According to testimony presented at trial, Johnson and his family relocated from Colorado to Short Creek. You almost want to say Schitt's Creek. It'd be a nicer place, really, specifically to be closer to Bateman. And he gave the girls to Bateman knowing they would be abused. I didn't just hand them over and walk away. He participated. Court records indicate that Johnson was physically or virtually present during group encounters involving Bateman and both adult and minor wives, including his own children. I know. What's firing up here? That's gone. Oh, this makes sense. Liddell Bistleen Jr. gave his own daughters as well, a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old. He also helped recruit additional followers for Bateman, bringing his own wife and family members into the group and facilitating the abuse. When law enforcement and Child Protective Services started asking questions, Bistleen helped orchestrate efforts to conceal evidence and obstruct the investigation. Let that sit for a moment. These are fathers who, according to federal court records, trial testimony, and their own admissions, handed prepubescent girls to a man and then helped him cover it up. Not because they were under physical threat, not because they were imprisoned or restrained, because they believed, because the theological framework they've been raised in told them that a prophet's word is God's word. And to defy it is to lose everything, your family, your community, your eternal salvation. The cost of disobedience was damnation. The cost of compliance was their daughters. So, I mean, you convince people that they're going to burn eternally, they'll do a lot of shit for you. It's amazing how many people are willing to just like, oh, well, he says fire is going to happen because Sky Daddy said it in a 2,000-year-old book. Or didn't. Oh, wait. He didn't quite say it like that. This guy made his own book after he found some crazy tablets in a different continent. And then we decided that the group that said you can't have more wives, we still like the tablet idea and the wives, but they don't like the wives part anymore. So we're going to go over here. Like, it's insane. It's fucking insane. It's a cult. It's not a religion. It's a cult. Wake up. I don't care how many good deeds you do, how many lovely things you sponsor, and how many good, kind things. And I'm not saying these folks do it. I'm saying the, like, more mainstream. It's a fucking cult. I know people don't like that when I say that, and I should respect it. I don't. I don't respect this shit. Any organization that openly holds back women, controls people's lives and threatens them with eternal damnation and their control to do what they want to do, and it's all under the name of God, fuck you. And when the system that was supposed to catch this tried to intervene, those same fathers shut it down. According to court filings, police questioned Bateman at least twice in 2020 about taking minors as wives. Both times, the children's parents or guardians told officers Bateman was just a family friend. Nothing to see here. The investigators left. The abuse continued. Wow, great job, investigators, stepping in. This is the problem. Respecting too many religions. Not all are built the same. Some are far more dangerous than others. I would argue most have a level of danger to them. That's the mechanism that makes cult-based trafficking different from any other form. The parental shield. In most child abuse cases, parents are the first line of defense. The people who report, who intervene, who call for help. In this case, parents were the first line of supply. They didn't fail to protect their children. They delivered them. Then they lied to police to make sure the delivery wasn't interrupted. I want to be clear for a second here, because I know I might be coming across as completely anti-religion. I'm not. If it's done in a non-coercive, controlling sort of way, which very few are, I don't care. Have your own religion. Have your own relationship with whatever you want. It's this sort of shit. And it's a very slippery slope in most cases, where it doesn't quite go this extreme, but you can do a lot of damage without handing your children over to the guy who thinks he's getting closer to God by effing your 9-year-old. There's a lot of situations, and I think we can see it examined, for example, in the Catholic Church, or insert other church here, where the bad human beings take advantage of people. Does it damn the entire concept of the religion? No, it really doesn't, because there's nowhere in that book that says, hey, do this to your kids. Nowhere! It's man that goes in and bastardizes it. I think the book actually talks about that a little bit, too. We're just really bad at identifying it. The Bible talks quite a bit about false prophets, about people using religion as a way of coercively controlling others, and to be on the lookout for it. Unfortunately, we live in this society where religion is looked at as infallible when you're in it, and nobody goes, maybe we should pay attention to the warning signs in it. Maybe there's that. Maybe we have these brains that this God gave us, and maybe we should fucking use them. Not just blindly follow, but it does kind of contradict itself, because, you know, it's kind of referring to people as sheep the whole time, which are kind of not the brightest animal, and they do kind of follow shit. When you get so deep, when you get so dedicated, and nothing can be infallible, and people in power are infallible, and all they have to do is tell you, God told me, that's dangerous. That is dangerous. So I'm much more of a fan of people having a personal relationship with their God or whatever it is to them. Because you start putting people in the mix, and this sort of shit is what you get at a certain point. My opinion, not anti-religion, not anti-God, not anti-Jesus, not anti any of that. Anti-human bastardization of it. More people should be. More people should be speaking up and standing against this sort of shit. Because when you don't, you get this sect in Utah and they're hanging out and the police come in and like, well, we got to respect their religion. It's kind of what they do. They're not hard. They're just dressing like it's 1890. And yeah, there's nothing weird going on here. Until there is, and the damage is done, these people are effed for the rest of their life, mentally. Okay, that was my rant. I just wanted to be clear to anybody out there who is spiritual, who is religious. I'm not against you. I'm against this sort of shit. And I would ask you that if you are, please be vigilant on these people, especially people within your own organization or ecosystem or loop or whatever. Because you can have a really nice, pristine, non-coercive, controlling group of religious folks for a long time. All it takes is one bad one to get into the mix or somebody to go, I'm going to let my true freak flag fly now. Quietly with the kids. And everything can go downhill pretty quick. Does that bastardize religion? No, but it's a human part that goes in and destroys things. Again, I believe it talks about this in the book. How do I know that? I grew up in a religion. I had the class every damn day. I know a lot about this shit. I come from experience, not FLDS. I was just Lutheran. But I'll tell you what, there were some fun conversations in that one. When I was a kid, in one, my dad was Catholic, my mom was Lutheran. I went to a Lutheran elementary school. Your father's going to hell because he's Catholic. What? They told a bunch of us this shit. Wisconsin Synod Lutheran motherfuckers. Yeah. That was what they were telling third graders back then in the 90s. I don't know if that's their official stance anymore, but they had a lot of teachers saying that sort of shit, and it kind of fucks with you when you're a kid. Oh, my dad goes to that other church. They talk about Jesus and God, too, but I guess he's going to burn eternally because, gosh, unless he converts over to that synod of Lutheran. I mean, it's insane. Now, I'm not saying, and look, there's plenty of great people actually in that church. I have family that, and nothing wrong, but it's the humans. It's the humans that get in and interject their shit that then infiltrates the minds of children, scars them, and nobody wants to take a step back and go, you know what? That's inappropriate. That's not at all what this damn thing talks about. What the fuck are you saying to these kids? That's the problem. People not standing up against this shit. Just going along. Don't want to rock the boat. Don't want anybody to think I don't believe as much. How about this? It doesn't matter what other people think you believe. It's about you and your relationship there. It's not about you and Bill over here. But again, we're human. And people tend to care more about how their image is perceived than what they're actually professing to be doing. There's your Sermon on the Mount for today. By the way, we're recording this on Good Fucking Friday. Now, here's where the story gets more complicated and more human than any simple villain narrative allows. Because many of Bateman's adult wives, the women who participated in, witnessed, or facilitated the abuse of minors, were themselves products of the same system. Duane Barlow is one of Bateman's convicted co-defendants. According to court testimony, she was raised in the FLDS community of Colorado City. She was taught from birth that complete obedience to the men in her life was the only path to a fulfilling life and salvation. Her father was banished from the community when she was 12. She was eventually married against her will to an uncle. She became pregnant. Her child was born with a rare and terminal genetic condition found only in children born of blood relatives. A psychologist named Mari Loring evaluated Barlow in prison. She'd already been held for 20 months awaiting sentencing and found extreme PTSD and Stockholm syndrome. Loring told the judge that Barlow was given no choice but to participate in Bateman's criminal acts. The obedience she showed, including participation in S acts involving minors, was the only behavior she ever had been taught. That when she helped plan the kidnapping of children from foster care, she believed she was rescuing them from abuse at the hands of the state. Flora Jessup, a woman who escaped the FLDS herself at 16 years old after experiencing S abuse and forced marriage to her first cousin, looked at the adult wives cases and said something that captures the impossible moral position at the center of the story. They were born into this cult. The only thing they knew is that little box they were in their entire life. She called them absolute S trafficking victims, every single one of them. And then she said they still have to face consequences because however they got there, children were harmed. The justice system tried to calibrate sentences for the adult wives, varied based on their degree of involvement. Donnie Barlow received time served in a suspended probation. Her sister, Brenda Barlow, who helped plan the kidnapping, got 3 years. Leanne Barlow, convicted of transporting minors for that activity, received 6 years. Marona Johnson and Leila Bistine each received 2 years, followed by probation. The sentencing judge, Susan Vernvich, appeared to weigh each case individually, trying to separate the predators from the products of predation. But there's no clean line. That's the truth in this case. that has to be able to be resolved. Where does victimhood and complicity begin when the same institution created both? When the woman who helped deliver a 9-year-old to a predator was herself handed to a man she didn't choose when she was barely older? When the belief system that justified the abuse also convinced the abuser's accomplices that they were serving God? By the time Bateman was arrested in 2022, his operation was fully functioning. It was a fully functioning machine. More than 20 spiritual wives, at least 10 of them minors, victims as young as 9, a financial network funding luxury vehicles and cross-state travel, a theological cover story that reframed child abuse as divine obedience, fathers who served as recruiters and suppliers, adult wives who served as facilitators and enforcers, and a community already fractured, already traumatized, already conditioned by decades of prophetic authority that either couldn't see what was happening or chose not to. The mechanism Bateman exploited wasn't new. Warren Jeffs used the same system for decades. He controlled marriages. He traded girls. He punished dissent with exile and rewarded loyalty with access. Bateman simply stepped into the vacancy Jeffs left behind and ran the same operation with the same tools, targeting the same vulnerable population. The profit changed, the playbook didn't, and the people inside that system, the ones who've been trained from infancy to obey without question, did exactly what they were trained to do. What makes this case especially difficult to sit with is that the supply chain was made of love. Twisted, corrupted, weaponized love, but love all the same. These fathers genuinely believed they were securing their daughter's eternal salvation. Somehow they twisted it in their minds that all they had to do was be by this guy and hell. Eternal golden roads. These wives genuinely believed they were serving God's will. The belief was real. The devotion was real. And that's precisely what made the abuse so efficient and so difficult to stop from the inside. It took outsiders to break the cycle. People who didn't grow up in the system. People who weren't conditioned to accept a prophet's word as God's command. People who moved into Short Creek with cameras and a phone line and law enforcement. That is next in our series. Press subscribe so you don't miss it as we continue to dig into this. And give me your thoughts and comments on Substack and YouTube. Be sure to press subscribe there as well. Wherever you get podcasts, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, search it, hit subscribe. Do it on your phone right now while you're thinking about it. I'll wait. We get some music here. Do we have any? Oh, that's not very good. I'm thinking. Here we go. Grab your phone. Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Type it in. Press subscribe. Okay, good. We're done. Thank you. Okay. We'll continue the conversation on Substack and YouTube. Until then, my name is Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. the social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Identity theft can cost more than you think. Drained investment accounts, stolen tax returns, lost wages, expenses for lawyers. It's a lot. That's why LifeLock is backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which covers up to $1 million each for stolen funds, fees for experts and lawyers, and out-of-pocket expenses. Don't face the burden of identity theft alone. Protect your future and finances with LifeLock. Join now and save up to 30% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.